Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, we're going to get into a couple of potential real estate deals. We're going to talk about the mechanics of these deals today because we're searching for information. We're searching for information that we can use so that we can make an informed decision on whether or not the assets that we're looking at are going to make good sense for us as investors to put these assets into our portfolio. And that might be a little different from what you're doing right now. It might be a little different. And here's why I know this. I have walked 100 miles in your shoes. I have. I've been there. I've done that. I've gotten the t-shirt. I have trashed the t-shirt. And I moved on. You see, at one time, like you, I had a financial planner. I did. I had a financial planner that I trusted to invest my money because I was too busy doing the work that I was doing to pay attention to any of that nonsense in the stock market. And of course, I was told that in order for me to retire very comfortably, I could not rely on earning a pension. As a matter of fact, the pension that I earned was not a guarantee. I had to serve a certain number of years in the United States Army to qualify for a pension. Yet 20 years of active duty is the minimum number. 20 years of your life in order to get entitled to earn a pension. And even way back when I had a financial planner, I was told by people that had gone before me that, first of all, the pension wasn't guaranteed. That even though I was like, I don't know, 8, 12 years, wherever I was in my military service at the time, there was no guarantee that I would make it the full 20 years. I mean, I could go to war. I could become a casualty. I could not potentially come home. And everything stops. I could decide to leave the military. I could get to a certain point in my career and I could just say, you know what? I can make more money in corporate America. As a matter of fact, I have headhunters talking to me, wooing me, trying to get me to come over to the dark side, so to speak. Yeah, I mean, that could have happened. Here's the other thing. Even though I earned that pension, I was told way back in the day that that pension would not be enough for me to survive on, that it would not replace the monies that I earned in my final years of service, and that I should probably go talk to a financial planner. Because back in those days, we didn't have anything called a TSP. We certainly didn't have a 401k in the Army. We had a pension. And if you didn't get to 20 years, you didn't get the pension. That's just the way it works in the military, at least back in those days. I don't know what the current rules of engagement are. Actually, I do, because my son's in the military, and he says they've pretty much wrecked the retirement system. So those are his words, not mine. But my financial planner back in the day told me that I needed to be diversified, that the way to financial freedom was to continue to grow my dollars. And back in those days, they were telling me a 7-8% return was a healthy return. They were also telling me to put my money into a certain mutual fund, which I did. And, you know, when I did my research on the mutual fund, it was a top-rated mutual fund. So I felt pretty good about that. Now, one of the things they did explain to me is that it was, I don't know, I think they called it a loaded fund. I'm not sure what they call these things, but here's the way it worked. For the first year, whatever money I contributed, and they set me up on some kind of fixed amount. I think it was like $500 a month. I don't even remember what the number was we were putting aside way back then. But let's go with 500, because it really doesn't matter. Half of that money in the first year would go to pay fees. So $250 out of that $500 that I put into that account got stripped away right off the top and went to pay fees for the financial planner and the agency that they worked for. The rest got invested. That was how they marketed and earned their money in this particular mutual fund. You paid an upfront cost. And the trade-off was you pay the cost up front, and therefore everything you put in after that is all going towards your money. There's no additional fees, which was a lie. There were actually some additional fees. Yeah, I want to get into that. But that particular financial planner agency that I was in business with, because I had been recommended to them because they were former, well, I think they still are. I'm not even going to tell you the name, but they're still around. And it was primarily an organization that dedicated providing financial services to serving members of the military or retirees. That was their target audience. And I fell right into that. Well, a couple years down the road, they were taken to court and sued for bad business practices because of what that they had done. I mean, what they had done apparently wasn't correct. And the point I'm getting at is this. My financial planner said they were working on my best interest. But their behavior, what they did, was completely in contrast to my best interest because it was self-serving. It was designed to serve their financial needs first. And I'll tell you what, that's not the way to go. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you the way to go. Stick around.
It comes a point in time every now and then when the world flips upside down. And during that time, you have to come up with a decision in your life. How are you going to go through this? How are you going to work your way through this process that has no end? So what do? The first thing I need you to understand is that almost every entrepreneur out there makes it big when something bad happens. I tripled my net worth between 2008 and 2010. 10 years straight increase in value. It makes us all look like geniuses when everything goes up for 10 years straight. But now we're at the point where we can find out who's good again. And you need to be in there. Because why? Because I tripled my net worth in 2 years. You can do it too, if you know what to do. You need to get into lifestyles right now.
Join us for our free live online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so I went back into history. I went back to 2004 and I looked at the lawsuit that my financial planner received because of the way they were treating not only me, but my fellow military members that were sending money to this organization because we were told back in the early 2000s, you're not going to make it on a pension alone. You need to have a supplemental source of income. As a matter of fact, you ought to go to this financial planner and you ought to give them some money because they'll invest the money for you and that will help make up the difference when you retire at a future age, way in the future. So in 2014, in December, the Security and Exchange Commission announced the institution of settled enforcement proceedings against, I won't say the name of the company, a registered broker-dealer whose customer base consists almost entirely of active duty and retired U.S. military personnel. See, I didn't lie to you in the last segment. The SEC alleges that alleges that company used misleading sales materials to offer and sell mutual fund investments through an installment method called a systematic investment plan, otherwise known as a systematic plan. The NASD today also initiated settled disciplinary proceedings against the name of the company that I won't say, based on similar allegations relating to the firm's sales of systematic plans. In settlement of these claims, or these actions, the company has agreed to pay $12 million to be used to reimburse certain customers. Now, it says certain customers. It didn't say all customers. I was not reimbursed. I think the certain customers are the people that actually went forward with the lawsuit. And I'm not even sure if I was a party. I don't even know if it was a class action. Don't really care, because those funds are all gone today. Been gone for a long time. And to fund investor education programs for members of the U.S. military and their families. Yeah, fund investor education programs. So here, we cheated you. We didn't do business in accordance with SEC guidelines. We got ourselves in trouble. We paid a $12 million fine, which was supposed to be used to, you know, pay off the people that brought the suit and to invest into, or fund, I should say, investor education programs for members of the U.S. military and their families. Yeah, I don't recall this firm any time in my existence providing me any additional investment education programs than what they already had. Yeah, see, I think it's just a big farce. It really is. It's a big farce. And I'll tell you, when that happened to me, I was pretty upset, because the people that I trusted had let me down. And here's the other problem. In 2004, we were well on our way to dancing with the bad guys. That's right. We were fully engaged in conflict overseas. My life was extremely busy, extremely hectic. We were at that time, 3 years into a very, very long, drawn out and protracted war. I didn't have time to mess around with this stuff. And the people that I trusted let me down. They did. Now, I will tell you, at the same time that all this was going on, prior to 9/11, I had purchased real estate because I was also told by some other people that, you know, real estate is kind of a good way to make some money on the side. But unfortunately, the methodologies that people talked about were not the most productive ways to make money in real estate, because at that time I was living out in California. And California was experiencing at that time the same thing that it's experiencing right now. The values of the real estate are so high in comparison to the rental income streams that they can produce. The numbers are all out of whack. So most people that invest into property in California, they either take a huge chunk of money and put it into the deal just to get break-even cash flow, or maybe a little bit of positive cash flow, or they do what I was doing when I was investing in real estate, which is buying the property and then every month contributing money out of my own household pocket to make sure that the mortgages were paid on those properties, because I had them over leveraged. Because the problem is this: the income streams provided by the property, the cash flows, weren't enough to meet the debt service or the value that I had put on the property. So things were out of whack. So the real estate didn't operate correctly. Let me fast forward a little bit of time. Let's go to 2007, when the stock market started not doing so well. We all of a sudden started seeing dramatic reductions in values in the stock market. And then in 2008, the real estate market kind of came unglued, because the government had just pretty much opened the floodgates on mortgage lending and didn't do what the government's supposed to do, which is police that stuff. So it was the Wild West with mortgage lending. People were doing signature loans for all kinds of stuff, and they were buying a property, holding it for 4 months and selling it, essentially flipping it without doing any renovations to the property. That's how inflated the property market had become, especially in California. Meanwhile, stock market went into another correction in 2008. Real estate was devaluing. I was not operating my properties correctly. I had bad residents in some of my units, and they weren't paying like they should have been paying because I had selected bad people to put into those properties because I didn't even select those people. I had a property manager doing it because I was too busy. Yeah, and I paid a price. I did. What I wound up doing was I looked at these mutual funds that I had been contributing to just going down in value after, you know, 4 years prior being hit with this thing that, oh, they're all crooks. And then I'm watching my real estate income streams dwindle down because I'm not effectively managing those assets. And I still have real estate loans in my name. So what do I do? Okay, tap into the mutual funds, pull money out to make good on the real estate note payments. That's what was going on in my life in 2008. And I was watching my life slowly implode. The benefit of hindsight tells me this. Had I known what I know now, it would have been a completely different story for me. When we come back from the break, I'm going to give you some insight. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited Executive Vice President, Business Consultant, and Successful Real Estate Investor Lynn Murrow on the critical difference between those who succeed and those who fail.
Whether you have a small business, whether you are running a division of a large corporation, whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 100 company listening to us right now, or whether you work for somebody else, you have an area of responsibility and you are presented with a novel challenge by a novel virus that's going on right now. And the key to all of that is keeping your head up and looking for opportunity when what you want to do is curl up in a ball and go to sleep. And that is the critical difference between people who succeed right now and people who fail.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our business and provide for our families. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, in this segment, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at two properties. And I know it's difficult to see over the radio. I get that. I totally understand that. So I'll do my best to be as descriptive as I can. Because what I want you to do in this segment is I want you to just absorb some information. And I want you to make an informed decision. Because I'm going to talk about two different properties that you could buy. Two different properties that literally are available on the markets right now that you could acquire and put in your portfolio. And we're going to talk about some of the different nuances with these properties. And what I'm trying to do is get you to a place where you have a comfort level with the numbers. Because you may not have a comfort level with the numbers. I mean, I've been throwing out a lot of property information over the last couple of weeks. I've been hitting you with a lot of numbers, and I understand that. And maybe some of those numbers just don't resonate with you. You don't understand what, you know, a particular cash out of pocket requirement can do for you over time, because nobody's bothered to articulate that to you. So let me take my best shot at it right now, and let me share with you two different deals that came across my desk over the last 48 hours. Now, both of these particular properties are located in the greater Houston market. Now, I'm not going to tell you where what the physical addresses are, because I don't want to create a feeding frenzy for these properties. Yeah, in other words, I mean, there might be a Lifestyles Unlimited member that's working on one of these particular properties, or both of them, or another member working on a second one. So what I don't want to do is I don't want to create a feeding frenzy for them to where all of a sudden I create a condition where I have artificially increased the price by creating demand for a property. Yeah, see, that's kind of how we do business at Lifestyles Unlimited. We don't compete against each other. So I have to be very sensitive when I talk about deals on the radio. I have to be very sensitive to the fact that I have 50,000 other members out there that might be looking at some of these deals. They may be getting them from different sources. I don't know. But the last thing I want to do is step on their toes, because if they're pursuing one of these things, I don't want to bring in, you know, 20 of you to bid up the price. Yeah. I mean, that sounded kind of mean, didn't it? To you. Well, it did. But when you become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, I'll do the same thing for you. I absolutely will do the same thing for you. So let's talk about these deals. Now, these deals are for distressed assets. In other words, these aren't the pretty houses that you and the missus drive around neighborhoods on the weekend because you're thinking about investing in real estate. And you go, oh, that's a pretty house. We should buy that, without having any idea of what that house is worth, without having any idea of what is required to bring that house to its respective glory days, without having any idea of what you could command for rents on that particular property, and without having any idea of how you could buy it in a way to where you could keep your cash outlay at a minimum, as small as possible. And here's a little insider information for you. One of the reasons that we keep our cash outlays as low as possible, there's really two reasons for it. The first reason is this: we find that our rates of return are better if we use as little of our money as possible. It's a math thing. It's just the way math works. The other thing that we like is the fact that we are leveraging properties. In other words, we are putting the appropriate amount of leverage. We're not over-leveraging these properties. When I say leverage, I'm talking about putting a loan on the property. And what we love about our lenders is that they're willing to come to the table with up to 80% of the after-repair value of the properties. Now, when I run my analysis, I run them at 75%. But there are lenders out there that would allow you to take up to 80%. And here's what's neat about that. That lender is bringing in the bulk of the money to the deal. That's right. And they're going to make their money off of the interest that they charge you. That's how lenders make their money. Here's the really neat thing. They don't participate in anything that you do to increase the value of that property. That's right. You heard me correctly. They're in it for their equity position only, and they don't participate in the returns. See, they're counting on you and me to correctly operate this property. As a matter of fact, they want us to be very successful operating these properties, because when we're successful operating these properties, they don't have to worry about a loan that may be going into default or into deferral or into forbearance or something like that. So it keeps a healthy asset on their books. Yeah. Yeah, see, lenders make money their way. We as real estate investors, we make money our way. So let's get into these two properties. Now, both of these properties, I may have mentioned it earlier. I'll just tell you, they're in Houston. They're somewhere in Houston. Okay. The first property is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, no garage, about 1,200 square feet. Property is about 70 years old. Actually, let me take that back. It's actually about 80 years old. You can buy the property for $117,000. Yeah. The second property is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. It's a little bigger. It's almost 1,600 square feet. And it's a little newer. meaning it's only 65 years old, is not 80 years old. And this property, you can buy it for $45,000. So on the surface, which property is the better deal? Have you guessed yet? Do you know? Do you know why? Okay. Well, here's the answer. We really don't have enough information about these properties to determine whether or not these are good assets to put into our portfolio. Because all we know is that they're distressed. Okay, so that is important. That tells us that the majority of people that are buying properties out there are not buying distressed properties. And even if they want to buy a fixer-upper property, some of the fixer-uppers that we deal with as real estate investors are beyond the scope of your do-it-yourself people. Not all of them, but some of them. So as a result of that, there's less competition for these properties. And just because the properties sound like they're a good price, what you have to know is what is it going to take to bring that property back to its glory days, and how long is that going to take? These are things that you need to understand. So you need some more information, don't you? Well, okay, let's give you some more information. So let's go back to the older property, the one that you can buy for $117,000. You can renovate that property. With closing and holding costs, you're probably going to put about $30,000 into that property. Yeah, that's what I'm anticipating, about $30,000. $30,000 to rehab that property. Now, the second property, the one that's a little bit bigger but a little bit newer, you're going to need $95,000 to renovate that property. $95,000. Okay, so the first one's $117,000. You need $30,000 to renovate it. The second one's only $45,000, but you need $95,000 to renovate it. Which is the better deal? We come back, I'll tell you.
It comes a point in time every now and then when the world flips upside down. And during that time, you have to come up with a decision in your life. How are you going to go through this? How are you going to work your way through this process that has no end? So what do? The first thing I need you to understand is that almost every entrepreneur out there makes it big when something bad happens. I tripled my net worth between 2008 and 2010. 10 years straight increase in value. It makes us all look like geniuses when everything goes up for 10 years straight. But now we're at the point where we can find out who's good again. And you need to be in there. Because why? Because I tripled my net worth in 2 years. You can do it too, if you know what to do. You need to get into lifestyles right now.
Join us for our free live online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so we're going to get into this, but before we do, I have to share with you something that I saw on Investopedia because, you know, they make a very clear point. And because they're making the clear point, I'm going to use their clear point to communicate to you that what you're doing right now for investing for yourself and for your family, it's either working or it's not. I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's your result. And if it's working, how effectively is it working? So this is what Investopedia says. They were talking about the S&P 500 index, which began in 1926, originally comprised of 90 stocks called the composite index. And according to historical records, the average annual return since its inception in 1926 all the way through 2018, so what, that's 92 years, is approximately 10 to 11%. That's what they say the market has been doing over time. And your financial planner probably tells you that, you know, a number a little less than that is realistic to expect. Because, you know, with what they do, they feel like they can get you 10 returns of 8 to 10, maybe 11%. Then Investopedia goes on to say this. The average annual return since adopting 500 stocks into the index in 1957 through 2018 is roughly 8%. So they went from 90 stocks, got a better return, went to 500 stocks, kind of diluted the field a little bit, got a slightly less of a better return, but they got a favorable return. So the question I have for you is this. Is 10% return on your money, is that good? Is that the kind of returns you want to make? I mean, think about it. What's your five-year return on 10% money? Well, I guess if you accumulated everything, you could say it's 50% return on your money, right? Well, that's where it gets convoluted. Because the way you're investing, you have money coming out of your salary before you ever see it. You probably have it all set up on direct deposit, or you have it, you know, carved right out of your check as soon as, before it even hits your bank account. So you never even see that money. So they take that money and they buy you fractional shares of whatever mutual fund you're in or whatever stocks that you're, but whatever they do for you. So you own those shares of stock or mutual funds. And then over time, you get a return. In other words, the market says that the value of that asset that you bought a year ago or 5 years ago, whenever you bought it, is now worth this. Meaning, if you sold that asset, you would get a return. So if your blended growth rate is 10%, it means that you're investing in some things within your portfolio that are probably giving you a better rate of return than other things, because that's how they balance the whole thing out. So 10% return on your money. Yeah, they think that's good. Now, let me tell you about these two houses that we started talking about last segment. And I'm not going to get into the nitty gritty. I'm not going to tell you about, you know, what needs to be done to fix the houses and things like that, because I will tell you, the first house that we talked about, the one that you can buy for $117,000, it needs some work. It's going to take about $30,000 to get everything done that you need to do to renovate that property. The second house that you can buy for $45,000, it is really going to be a heavier lift. There are a lot more things wrong with that property. It's going to take a little more time to get that property back to its glory days, and it's going to take about $95,000 to do it. So you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, see, the first one was $117,000. He said it was a $30,000. I need $137,000 to do the deal. I don't have $137,000. So let's go to the second property. He said it was $45,000 to buy it. It's $90,000 to renovate it. Oh my gosh, that's $135,000, which they seem the same. They seem as, I don't have $135,000 either. Okay, let's take a step back. You don't need $135,000. And even if you do it the way you think you do it, where you're going to go take out a loan at 80% of whatever the value of the property is at the time, and then you're going to pay the costs associated with repairing that property out of your own pocket, that's not an effective way to do it either. So you're going to use something called a hard money loan. We will teach you the correct way to do these things when you become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. But more importantly, the first deal, when you do it correctly, it's going to be almost $32,000 out of your pocket. That's right. You're going to be able to acquire, do renovations, put long-term financing on the property, and you're going to be able to do all of that for less than $32,000. And you're thinking, wait a minute, Al, you just told us $117,000 to buy it plus $30,000 to renovate it. We're only getting it for $32,000? That's correct. That's your cash out of pocket outlay. Now, the second property, the one that you can buy for a lot cheaper at $45,000, it's going to take $95,000 to get it back to its glory days. It's actually going to cost you less money to do that deal, about $26,000, a little bit above $26,000. So which deal sounds like it's a better deal so far? Well, you're thinking to yourself, I'm not sure. Maybe the one with the heavy lifting is a better deal because it's $5,000 less to get into that deal. See, now you're thinking about your available capital. You're thinking about the amount of money you have available to deploy into these deals. See, this is a different number than what you're used to, because now we're talking about cash contributions. We're talking about the money that comes physically out of your pocket to do this deal. See, that is the most important number. That is the number you must get to. Because all those other numbers that I gave you throughout the show, they're all fine and dandy. They give you a piece of the equation, but they don't give you the whole story. Once you get to the point where you understand what it's going to take to buy the property, when you understand what it takes to renovate systems within a property, what it costs to renovate those systems within that property, what it takes to put the proper resident into that property that has a good job and is willing to pay on time and wants the best place that they've been able to find while they've been looking on the marketplace, this is where real estate investing gets to its core essence. That's correct. Now, the other thing that you need to know is you really need to know what these assets can do for you cash flow wise. Yeah, it's kind of important. All right, so let's talk about it. So that first property, the one that isn't going to take as much to do the rehab, it's going to produce cash flows of about $448 a month. That annualized, it's almost $5,400 a year. That's not bad. Now, the other property that you could buy for less, but you had to throw a ton of money into it, $559 a month. Oh, what'd you just say? $559? That's what I just said. That's going to return $6,700 a year in income streams for you. And you're thinking to yourself, well, I like that. I like that a lot. So what do the rest of the numbers look like, Al? Okay. So on the first deal, that $448 of cash flow that you get annualized at almost $5,400, that's giving you a 17% return on your money cash on cash. 17% return cash on cash is better than what I just read to you from Investopedia. However, the more damaged property is returning almost 26% return cash on cash. It is giving you a higher cash flow income, and it's costing you less money out of pocket, although it's going to take more rehab to get this property into service. So it may take a month or two longer to rehab this property than the other property, but the numbers are much better. And both of these properties, the first one has an ARV of $158,000. The beat up one, the more beat up one, has an ARV of $155,000. So they're very similar in what the pricing is in the marketplace. If you held these assets for 5 years and disposed of these properties by selling the properties, here's the returns that you're going to get. The first property, about 193% return on your money over 5 years. That's the one that's producing almost $5,400 a month in cash flow. That took about $32,000 to do the deal. But that second property, it's going to return better because it's going to earn you 275% return on your money because it has better cash flow. It has better cash out-of-pocket requirements. It has the same appreciation potential as the other property. All the other things are essentially the same. But the beat-up one gives you the better return. And that's the one you probably ought to look at. And if you want to figure out how we do this, how I can just magically make these numbers come out of my head, go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. And remember, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.